This recording, Arkansas 39, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Get Secure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Get Secure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered the ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Comma and give her a relaxing bath. When Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." So life in Southeast Arkansas is extremely different from anywhere else in the whole state. It is basically a food desert down there. And so I grew up in a house that was kind of big, but it was old. It was janky. You can see straight through the ground. And my family actually took the house and moved it from Southwest Louisiana up to Arkansas. So it had seen a lot of life, that house. It was very, very old. We were probably the poorest family in that community, which is saying a lot because the whole community is poor. Like I said, it's a food desert. But the one thing that I knew about myself was that I did not want to continue to live in that type of state. I wanted more for my life. I wanted just to see more, to do more. I knew there was more out there. And so growing up with my grandmother, thankfully, she was a woman who had seen the world. She had 7 children. Her husband was in the military. And she said, "There's so much out there that you need to see." And so part of me being able to read came from her, so that she said that I could understand the world, I can see the world. And then because I wanted her to just be able to tell her about everything since she was blind, but that gradually happened to her. So she became legally blind. So I wanted to share books with her because I was like, I couldn't imagine not being able to read, not being able to just see the different things. So her pushing me pushing myself to read kind of led me to understand that there was so much more in the world than what was in Southeast Arkansas. And then us moving, I always had very good grades, us moving to Crossett, which was a bigger city. It's the booming city of South Arkansas, if you can believe that. So much smaller, but it was so much closer to Louisiana and to Monroe. And so that really dictated a lot of things. The funny thing about growing up in South Arkansas and being a person who read a lot of books and learned to read from what I presume was a white man is that I always was told that I talked white. And so that was something that I dealt with a lot. But my grandma always told me, just keep being you and talking white like you do, it'll take you places, which she talked the same way. And so I guess I learned it from her because that's who I spent most of my time with. But I always thought that was something very interesting and still happens today in Southeast Arkansas. Even if I go to visit, most people still will ask me where I'm from. And I'm like, I'm from right here. I'm Joe's daughter, which people don't really, they kind of forget because I live so far away. But it's definitely a different thing. I'm growing up and having an education is what they call it, or acting white, talking white. So it was very funny.